This is Reverend Joseph Caesar, and welcome to the Good News Program. I am truly blessed and honored to be called by God to be His servant to spread the good news of salvation to you all. You have done the right thing. Don't change the channel. You are not here by chance, but by divine guidance.
This is Reverend Caesar again coming to you. Another time, I am so sorry that I was not able to get to you for some time, but don't feel, you know, abandoned, because the Lord has anointed me to preach the gospel and spread the good news. I pray this evening would be a blessing to you, this message which I'll be bringing to you. Again, I apologize for the couple of weeks I wasn't able to come out to minister to your needs, but God is good, and God is good all the time. My topic this evening would be, or the title would be, Peace, Be Still, and would be taken from the book of Mark, chapter 4, verse 39. It had been an eventful day in the life of Jesus. Beside the Sea of Galilee, he had spoken first, and his first parables, by familiar illustrations, again explaining to the people the nature of his kingdom and the manner in which it was to be established. He had likened his own work to that of the sower. The development of his kingdom to the growth of the mustard seed and the effect of leaven in the measure of meals. The great final separation of the righteous and the wicked he had pictured in the parables of the wheat and the tares and the fishing nets. The exceeding preciousness of the truths he thought had been illustrated by the hidden treasures and the pearl of great price, which in the parable of the householder he taught his disciples how they were to labor as his representatives. And so all day he had been teaching and healing. And as evening came, and the crowd still presented him upon him day after day, he had ministered to them, scarcely pausing for food or rest. But the malicious criticism and misrepresentation with which the Pharisees constantly pursued him made his labors much more severe and harassing. And now the close of the day found him so utterly wearied that he determined to seek retirement in some solitary place across the lake. The eastern shore of Gennesaret was not uninhabited, for there were towns there and there besides the lake. Yet it was a desolate region when compared with the western side, and it contained a population more heathen than Jewish and had little communication with Galilee. Thus, it offered Jesus the seclusion he sought, and he now bade his disciples accompany him thither. So after he had dismissed the multitude, they took him, even as he was, into the boat, and hastily set off. But they were not to depart alone. There were other fishing boats lying near the shores, and these were quietly crowded with people who followed Jesus, eager still to see and hear more. And so the Savior was at last relieved from the pressure of the multitude and overcome with weariness and hunger. He lay down in the stern of the boat, and soon he fell asleep. The evening had been calm and pleasant, and quiet rested upon the lake. But suddenly darkness overspread the sky. The wind swept wildly down the mountain gorges along the eastern shore, and a fierce tempest burst upon the lake. The sun had set, and the blackness of night settled down upon the stormy sea. The waves lashed into the fury by the howling winds, dashed fiercely over the disciples' boat, and threatened to engulf it. Those hardy fishermen had spent their lives upon the lake and had guided the boat and threatened to engulf it, and had guided their craft safely through the many a storm. But now their strength and skill availed nothing. They were helpless, and in the grasp of the tempest, and hope failed them as they saw that their boat was filling with the water. And so, absorbed in their efforts to save themselves, they had forgotten that Jesus was on the board. Now, seeing the labor vain and only death before them, they remembered at whose command they had set out to cross the sea. In Jesus was their only hope. In their helplessness and despair, they cried, "Master, Master." But the dense darkness hid him from their sight. Their voices were drowned by the roaring of the tempest, and there was no reply. And so doubt and fear assailed them. Had Jesus forgotten them? Was he who had conquered disease and demons and even death powerless to help his disciples now? Was he unmindful of them in their distress? And again they call, but there is no answer except the shrieking of the angry blast. Already their boat is sinking, and the moment by moment, and apparently they were swallowed up by the angry waters. And suddenly a flash of lightning pierced the darkness, and they see Jesus lying asleep, undisturbed by the tumult. In amazement and despair, they exclaim, "Master, Master, carest thou not that we perish? How can he rest so peacefully while they are in danger and battling with death? How? And so they cry arose, Jesus, as the lightning's glare reveals him. They see the peace of heaven in his face. They read in his glance self-forgetful, tender love, and their hearts turning to him, crying loud, save us, we perish. And so never did a soul utter that cry unheeded, as the disciples grasped their oars to make a last effort. Jesus rises. He stands in the midst of his disciples while the tempest rages, the waves break over them, and the lightning illuminates his countenance. He lifts his hand, so often employed in deeds of mercy, and says to the angry sea, peace, be still. The storm ceased immediately. The billows sink into rest. The clouds roll away, and the stars shine forth. The boat rests upon a quiet sea. Then turning to his disciples, Jesus asked sorrowfully, why are ye fearful? Have ye not any faith? And a hush fell upon the disciples. Even Peter did not attempt to express the awe that filled his heart. The boats that had set out to accompany Jesus had been in the same peril with that of the disciples. Terror and despair had seized their occupants, but the command of Jesus brought quiet to the scene of tumult. The fury of the storm had driven the boats into close proximity, and all on board beheld a miracle. And in the calm that followed, fear was forgotten. The people whispered among themselves, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? And when Jesus was awakened to meet the storm, he was in perfect peace. There was no trace of fear in word or look, for no fear was in his heart. But he rested on in the possession of Almighty power. It was not as the master of earth and sea and sky that he reposed in quiet. That power he had laid down, and he says, I can of mine own self do nothing. In John 5:30, he trusted in the Father's might. It was in faith in God's love and care, that Jesus rested, and the power of that word, which stilled the storm was the power of God. As Jesus rested by faith in the Father's care, so we are to rest in the care of our Savior. If the disciples had trusted in him, they would have been kept in peace. Their fear in the time of danger revealed their unbelief. In their efforts to save themselves, they forgot Jesus, and it was only when in despair of self-dependence they turned to him that he would give them help. How often disciples' experience is ours. We are like that. How often? When the tempest of temptation gather and the fierce lightnings flash and the waves sweep over us, we battle with the storm alone, forgetting that there is one who can help us. How often? We trust to our own strength till our hope is lost and we are ready to perish. Then we remember Jesus. And if we call upon him to save us, we shall not cry in vain. Though he sorrowfully reproves our unbelief and self-confidence, he never fails to give us the help we need. And when on the land or on the sea, if we have the Savior in our hearts, there is no need of fear. Live in faith in the Redeemer will smooth the sea of life and will deliver us from danger in the way that he knows how to do it best. There is another spiritual lesson in this miracle of the stilling of the tempest. Every man's experience testifies to the truth of the words of Scripture. The wicked are like the troubled sea. When it cannot rest, there is no peace, said my God, to the wicked. And in Isaiah 57:20-21, sin has destroyed our peace, while self is unsubdued, we can find no rest. The masterful passion of the heart, no human power can control. We are as helpless here as were the disciples to quiet the raging storm. But he who spoke peace to the billions of Galilee has spoken the word of peace for every soul. However fierce the tempest, those who turn to Jesus with the cry, Lord, save us, will find deliverance. His grace that reconciles the soul to God quiets the strife of human passion, and in his love, the heart is at rest. He maketh the storm a calm so that we and the waves therefore are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Being justified by faith, We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The walk of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever. Romans 5:1, Isaiah 32:17. And so in the early morning, the Savior and his companions came to shore, and the light of the rising sun touched sea and land, as with the benediction of peace. But no sooner had they stepped upon the beach than their eyes were greeted by a sight more terrible. It was that sight was more terrible than the fury of the tempest. From some hiding place among the tombs, two crazy madmen rushed upon them as if to tear them to pieces. And so hanging about these men were parts of their chains, which they had broken in escape from the confinement. Their flesh was torn and bleeding where they had cut themselves with sharp stones. Their eyes glared out from their long and matted hair. The very likeness of humanity seemed to have been blotted out by the demons that possessed them, and they looked more like wild beasts than like men. The disciples and their companions fled in terror. But presently they noticed that Jesus was not with them, and they turned to look to him. He was standing there. They had left him. He was standing where they had left him. Didn't move. He who had stilled the tempest, who had before met Satan and conquered him, did not flee before these demons. And so when the men gnashed their teeth and foaming at the mouth approached him, Jesus raised that hand which he had beckoned the waves to rest, and the men could come no nearer. They stood there, cold, raging, but helpless before him. With authority, Jesus made the unclean spirit come out of them. His words penetrated the darkened mind of the unfortunate man. They realized dimly that one was near who could save them from the tormenting demons. They fell at the Savior's feet to worship him. But when their lips were open to entreat his mercy, the demon spoke through them, crying vehemently, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Most High, I beseech thee, torment me no more." And today I thank you, Lord, for this message that you have the power to calm, the power to subdue. You said, "Peace, be still," to the waves, and it was peaceful. And so, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I thank you for your divine word. And I pray that somebody will come to know you as Lord and Savior. And as I say, Ephata, 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 in the name of Jesus Christ, some hearts will be blessed. In Jesus' name, may you have a wonderful week. I pray God blessings over you with divine protection. Amen.
If this ministry has been a blessing and helped you through the Word of God, please donate. There's a donate button at the top of the show page. Any amount would be welcomed. Thank you in advance. This money will help keep the program Good News airing on BBS Radio. Remember, Corinthians 5:7 says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." And Romans 10:9 says, "If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved."